Good evening, everybody. Brian Newbert here from GoldenBlack.com. Live, not in my car this time because it's 1:17 in the morning. Don't want to get arrested for breaking into my own car. Here in my office, kicking back in the old office chair here, following Purdue's 81-76 loss at Rutgers. I am not there, but I watched it on TV, same as you, and I'll now record myself sharing some thoughts in this Golden Black Radio Express post-game podcast brought to you by our friends at Falls Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the East End Grill, Charters Team Remax Ability Plus, JFQ Lending, and Gridiron Metalworks. So please keep all of our sponsors in mind when you need their respective services. Again, Purdue loses 81-76 at Rutgers. You know, a little bit of a mixed bag here in the sense that, you know, Purdue did some really good things to put itself in a position here up five with 11 minutes to go after being down 15 in the first half. Did some good things to get into a position where you had a chance to win this game in the end. Came down to the final minute, basically. Purdue couldn't get it done, largely because Purdue is not a particularly good defensive team right now. To be honest with you, to be brutally honest with you, I'm not sure what level of potential they have. They can get better for sure from a collective perspective, all of that stuff. But again, you have pieces here that are very limited from a defensive standpoint, but you also have a lot of inexperience, a lot of youth on this team, and just some real prohibitive factors about this team that don't lend themselves necessarily to effective defense. Purdue, again, is just going to have to do the best it can with this the rest of the season, hope to get better with experience, hope to get a little bit more maybe cohesion, whatever it may be. Matt Painter, I'm sure, will tell you that guys need to concentrate, guys need to play harder, all of that stuff. All of that is probably true, but the reality of it is Purdue has some real limitations defensively, and they are being exploited, quite often this season. Purdue builds its defense around protecting the lane. That is their focus at that end of the floor, dedicating extra bodies to closing off driving lanes, to protecting the paint at all costs. At times, you're asking guys to really be ahead of plays, to really close out on shooters really effectively. But that is a lot to ask sometimes, and it does afford teams opportunities to, you know, make some early shots and get in rhythm, so to speak, because Purdue, its priority lies elsewhere. That's the kind of the difficult decision you have to make when you don't necessarily have a defensive strength per se. You have a lot of other things you have to cover up when you're playing big at center, like Purdue has for the last 5 years in a row, 6 years in a row, whatever it is. You have to cover up your lack of mobility at the five. That comes with trade-off advantages at the other end, obviously, but you do have to cover it up on defense. So Purdue schemes to protect the lane. That does put it in some compromising positions at times, defending the three when the offense does the right thing to get those shots. Make a couple early, sometimes that snowballs on you. I thought the game at Texas 2 years ago was a good example of allowing a mediocre shooting team to get into a rhythm early, and then it snowballing on you. Rutgers, even without Ron Harper Jr., who didn't play tonight, he's borderline All-American this season. Even without him, this is still a respectable to good shooting team. They do have a lot more offensive skill than what people are used to seeing from Rutgers. Which doesn't say a whole lot when you remember where they came from a few years ago when Steve Peichel first got this job. But they do have players. Geo Baker, you know what he's capable of. If you're a Purdue fan, you see him in your dreams sometimes. Montez Mathis, these guys weren't necessarily shooting well coming into this game, but they are capable players. Paul Mulcahy is a guy who can shoot the basketball. This is a team with weapons. And, you know, Purdue often plays the percentages sometimes and lets guys who aren't necessarily shooting well makes them beat them. This was a case where these guys maybe weren't necessarily shooting well, but Purdue wasn't letting these guys shoot. They weren't daring Montez Mathis to beat them. It just so happens Montez Mathis did beat them. Rutgers was 11 of 25 from 3, or I'm sorry, 11 of 21 from 3. Montez Mathis was 5 of 5 after he came in shooting around 30%. But he has also been a longtime thorn in Purdue's side as well. So, I don't think it should surprise anyone that he came out and kind of beat Purdue tonight. But that's the story of the game, is Rutgers just making more shots than Purdue. But the other side of that coin is that Purdue is just not very good defensively at this point. And when you build your defense around protecting the lane, you get beat by the three, but you don't protect the lane either. You know, that's when you're really in a tough spot. And that's kind of been the case the last two games here. Maryland, you know, made 10 threes, but ended up tying that game up at the end after Purdue was up pretty big by driving the lane, by getting to the basket, by getting Purdue in scramble modes and beating them off the dribble. Rutgers, you know, made 11 threes, but they also did a lot of damage to Purdue in high ball screens in the first half, exploiting Purdue's size there on the inside. Purdue just didn't do a great job against the dribble again tonight. And when you're not defending the three and you're not protecting the lane, that's obviously the worst case scenario there. So Purdue, again, I don't even know how much potential Purdue has to be a really good defensive team. They just have to do the best they can with it. Have to hope with experience things get a little bit better. Have to hope that the chemistry gets a little bit better, the communication gets a little better, that they just start to play a little bit better collectively than the sum of their parts. That's been the need all season long. It's not really happened yet this season outside of a few spurts here and there. But the Ohio State game comes to mind. The last possession against Maryland comes to mind. But this team's got a long way to go defensively. And, you know, if Purdue wants quality wins this year, they're going to have to beat really good teams in the Big Ten. Half the league is ranked. More than half the league is ranked. You're going to want to beat somebody off of that list at their place. And doing that without being able to consistently get stops or, you know, if you continue to struggle defensively, you're not going to win those games by accident. That's the line I've kept using over and over again tonight, is you're not going to win by accident in the Big Ten if you can't be good on defense. And right now, Purdue's just got a long way to go defensively. The good news here in this game tonight was, you know, Purdue was down 15 in the first half. Ideally, you'd prefer not to be down 15 in the first half, but Purdue responded to that with a 23-6 run fueled by Isaiah Thompson, who I think, you know, has been really up and down this season. I don't think he was as good as he wanted to be in the preseason. I think he had a tough offseason. You know, this offseason treated everybody differently, and I don't think he came into the season in a great place. Got thrown into a huge opportunity right away because of the Eric Hunter injury. Has been kind of up and down all season. He's had some really high points, but he's also had some real struggles. For him, you know, to score a career high tying 17 points here, for him to make those three threes in the final 3 minutes of the first half to get Purdue back into this and really fuel that 23-6 run, really felt like a situation where a player needed some success and got some. He's got to build on this now. This was very reminiscent of his second half at Michigan last year, where he just kind of went off and really put Purdue in a position to win a really tough game on the road. Didn't get it done, but Purdue needs him to build on this because he's their backup point guard. He's going to play. I mean, I don't know if they're in a situation where if he's not playing well, they can make Jaden Ivey that player yet. You've seen a little bit of that the last couple of games where Ivy's brought the ball up some. But Purdue does need Isaiah Thompson. And if he can build on this, that would be great. If Travion Williams, again, you know, you see what Travion Williams is capable of and you just want it from every game if you're a Purdue person. He was great tonight. He was 10 of 12 from the floor. He did it against a great defensive center, if you ask me, and Miles Johnson. I love Miles Johnson. But he was great. He was efficient. He was patient. He made all the right decisions, it felt like. He had a really nice assist in the first half to Eric Hunter for a three, one of the few shots Eric Hunter made in this game. He really struggled tonight, and that's obviously was a problem for Purdue because he's an important offensive player, but he's an even more important defensive player. And having him out of the game more than they would otherwise, you know, probably wasn't ideal from a defensive perspective. But back to Travion Williams, he was really good. 21-12 at Rutgers, a very physical opponent. Pretty good center he was going up against, is a big deal for him. And again, if you get this from him every game, you're going to be really tough to beat. And, you know, I know we say that all the time. I think people think I'm being negative about him when I'm just, you know, holding him to the standard that he has shown he can be held to, because when he is good, he is really good. And, you know, Purdue needs the best version of Travion Williams as often as they can get him. And tonight, I thought they had the best version of Trayvon Williams for sure. Offensively, I think Purdue did enough to win this game. 76 points on the road against a good defensive team with only 8 turnovers really ought to be enough to win this game. Purdue missed 2 dunks, maybe even 3 dunks when you factor in an end one that Zach Edey almost finished with a two-handed dunk. But Aaron Wheeler missed a dunk right under the basket. Brandon Newman drove to the basket and tried to throw one down with one hand, missed that one. That was not an easy play. So when I say he missed that dunk, don't misconstrue that as me saying that's a play he ought to make every time. But you know, at the end of the day, Purdue's got to make its dunks, and those were 2, maybe 3 dunks that would have accounted for 6 points. And hey, look, you lost this game by 5 points. I know the butterfly effect is kind of silly, where you don't know, like, if you'd made a dunk in the first half, what happens there thereafter. But that's points Purdue left on the board. So Purdue, you know, scores 76 points on the road at Rutgers, and they were good enough to score 82. They were good enough to score, you know, a lot more than they did. So Purdue did, I think, everything it needed to do, almost everything it needed to do offensively, even without Eric Hunter, who's a critically important player at both ends of the floor for Purdue, not playing well at all. And this just comes down to the defense. It comes down to you got buzzsawed by Rutgers from a 3-point perspective. That's, you know, Purdue does that to people at home too. It's not like that doesn't happen. Even without Ron Harper Jr., this is still a solid Rutgers team with some real offensive skill to it. And you just got buzzsawed that they just made all of these threes, but you played a hand in it too. You played a role in it, I should say, not played a hand. That's cards. You played a role in it because you weren't as good defensively as you needed to be. Again, Purdue systematically defensively sets them up for this sometimes, where a team can get some good looks early against you when you're prioritizing something else. That can get them in a rhythm, and it can all kind of snowball on you. I don't know if that necessarily happened. I'll have to go back and watch and itemize all the threes tomorrow. But for the time being, clearly it is safe to say Purdue wasn't near good enough defensively to win this game. It was good enough offensively, but that's not nearly enough in the Big Ten. You have to get stops to win games like this, and Purdue just did not get enough of them. So that's what I've got from Purdue's 81-76 loss at Rutgers. We will talk to you again after Purdue plays at Illinois on Saturday. I'm pretty sure I will be there, provided they allow me a credential. So that's what I got. Once again, this has been your Golden Byte Radio Express post-game podcast, brought to you by our friends at Follett's Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the East End Grill, Charters Team Remaxability Plus, JFQ Lending, and Gridiron Metalworks. So please keep them in mind for all of their respective services. Thank you, everybody.